from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Bally Sports Southeast.
You just made the list!
Yeah, per the Sports Business Journal, 5 NBA teams could have their rights with Diamond severed heading into the 24-25 season. Those 5 teams are the Dallas Mavericks, the Detroit Pistons, New Orleans Pelicans, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Diamond's other 10 teams, NBA teams, along with possibly 2 of the teams mentioned above, would be safe if the company's reorganization is successful and it emerges from bankruptcy. However, they would take a haircut up to 40% on the rights fees. So it is important to know that while the Grizzlies are listed, it's not 100% certainty that they would be one of the 5 teams that have their rights cut. So here's how Sports Business Journal laid it out. Assuming Diamond remains solvent and its recent distribution agreement with Comcast seems in line with managing its business outside of bankruptcy, the company is expected to honor the contracts for its other 10 teams, those teams being the Hawks, Hornets, Cavs, Pacers, Clippers, Heat, Bucks, T-Wolves, Magic, and Spurs, and possibly 2 more. So again, it could be the Grizzlies. I would also bet, though, if they keep 2 of them, I would be surprised if the Grizzlies are one of them. I would not say, like, no chance in hell, but I would be surprised if the Grizzlies end up being one of the 2 teams. But if the bankruptcy court rejects Diamond's plan for reemergence and Diamond's most recent court date of July 29th was pushed back at its request, those 10 teams would join the Pelicans, Grizzlies, Thunder, Mavericks, and Pistons in looking for alternative local broadcasts. For that reason alone, sources said all 15 Diamond teams are angling for clarity, particularly so close to the coming season. One particular source said that the longer Diamond twists in the wind, teams will have less time to seal pending over-the-air deals, also diminishing their ability to generate a larger volume of ad sales and revenue. As it stands, even if Diamond reemerges as expected, the 10 remaining teams expect to have their local rights fees slashed by 30 to 40%. Considering most NBA teams have annual local rights fees of about $40 million, that's not anywhere remotely close to the Grizzlies' price. Though teams such as the Knicks and Lakers secure a highly average fee of roughly $100 million, the 10 remaining Diamond teams could lose as much as $16 million next season. All right, so let me lay it out for you as I best understand everything that's going on right now. The simplest answer is nobody knows what's going to happen, because there is also a universe where Diamond doesn't exist.
Right.
They don't come out of bankruptcy. I would be curious to know if low-key that's what the NBA is rooting for, because My understanding is if that happened, the NBA would take those 15 rights and then go try to sell them to Amazon.
Yes, because in this, at the very end, it says Amazon seems to be the ideal spots for the NBA, considering the company is committed to infuse roughly $115 million to Diamond 12 weeks after it emerges from bankruptcy, according to sources. So it sounds like one of the potential landing spots for the Grizzlies would be Amazon. And would they be almost treated as a guinea pig for the overall streaming rights that will eventually happen?
I believe so. Okay. I think that's how it'd be viewed, as like a test.
Right.
Now, the Grizzlies would never say anything. My interpretation, I think the Grizzlies would root for Diamond to make them one of the two teams for this year. I think most believe even if Diamond survives this year, it's for 1 year.
Right.
And so if you're the Grizzlies and you end up just getting cut entirely, it kind of low-key becomes a mess. Not from the sense that, yes, and everyone points to like the Grind City media operation and all that.
It's expensive.
Well, the problem is, like, do the Grizzlies own a TV truck? Like, the broadcast truck? My understanding is Bally's owns all that. And so, are you in a situation where, like, now all of a sudden you're having to go rent a truck for every game? My estimation is about $15,000 a day to do that per game. Now, are you just doing home games, maybe? And then on the away games, you're using the other feed, and maybe you're putting your announcers out there? But, like, you would be starting a true operation from scratch. And while you have the talent, the faces that we know and love, like, you would still be trying to basically start your own sports broadcasting entity from scratch. And I don't think that's what they would want. So the question for me would
be... also wouldn't be long-term.
Right. I mean, it's...
You'd have to put a lot of money into a short-term project that, to be honest, you're probably not going to make much money on.
Oh, I would think...
Is it going to be permanent?
I would think you would lose money.
Right.
Because, I mean, even just, like, what I would be curious to know is, if this is all, if our suspicion's correct, and that eventually all this is headed to Amazon, how is that going to work? Like, I don't assume Amazon's going to start productions for every team.
They might. Why not?
It's expensive and, like...
Yeah, they got the money.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, that would be interesting. Like, are they going to start running their own, you know, are they going to have, like, we know they broadcast games, so they have the operation, but it's one thing, basically be starting their own regional sports networks.
Is there a world in which some teams are with Amazon, some teams are with Diamond? Could it just be split for the local broadcast, and Amazon could just be a spot that the Grizzlies just so happen to be on, so they're not having to do it for every single team in the NBA, but they have a few where they do produce the games?
So the simplest answer is yes, but I don't know for how long.
Okay.
So there is a universe where Diamond, you know, there's 10 teams on Diamond, 5 teams on Amazon. How long would that last? I don't know. The other flip side of it would be Amazon still, per the cash infusion that they gave Diamond back, this thing feels like it's been going on for like 5 years. But when they paid the $100 million, or they gave them the $100 million cash infusion, they also acquired digital rights. So my question is, even if let's say the Grizzlies wind up being one of the Diamond teams, are Grizzlies games still going to be on Prime for digital?
I don't know.
Like, I really do think this is, like, kind of a low-key mess.
Oh, it is. I think it is a mess. It's, as soon as the possibility of it came back around, I was like, oh, I can't trust them. Something's going to go wrong. They always try to tell you it's going to be fine, sunshine and rainbows, and then immediately everything goes to crap. It happens every single year when you're trying to deal with Diamond and Bally. And then, you know, I do wonder, though, if you're Amazon, do you want a team like the Grizzlies, which having a star like Ja Morant would get you a lot of eyeballs? Is that attractive to it? Like, would Amazon be like, the Grizzlies are one of the teams that we wouldn't mind doing this for because they have the star power? We already know that their national television games are through the roof. It's predicted to be 75 games, which is, that's great for the Memphis Grizzlies. But do you think that Amazon's like, views the Grizzlies as a potential, this team could help us really kickstart this because they have a player like Ja Morant?
I think the I think the simplest answer I would give to that is, what does it cost? Like, yes, there's obviously things to sell, but like, if I'm Amazon, am I really wanting to fork over, you know, $20 million? I mean, I would think yes, because honestly, with Morant, I think the Grizzlies are probably a pretty good value, because the rights, we've never seen it officially reported, but I suspect the Grizzlies have the cheapest TV deal in the entire NBA. I mean, I suppose it's possible the Pelicans, but I mean, I think it's likely that the Grizzlies, if they don't have the cheapest, they're, I think, bottom three. So perhaps, I think the real question though is, like, is Amazon like ready to just go all in right now? Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that they have a long-term vision of doing this, but like, it's one thing to sit there and go, you know, in 3 years, this is where we see this headed. But now it's, hey, in 3 months, we got to start production. And I presume what they would basically do is just contract out the Bally's people. And like, so we wouldn't notice the difference. I think the real question though is, like, what are we actually rooting for? And I think what I'm rooting for is this to just fall apart. I think what I'm rooting for is different than what the Grizzlies are rooting for.
I agree, because I am rooting for the easiest possible way for me to watch Grizzlies games. And I believe that is going to be Amazon. That is just what I think that is going to be the easiest thing.
A local TV option.
Well, that's why they did ask Jay Marine, who is, you know, he is the head of sports for Prime Video. And he basically said, I don't know. I wouldn't want to speculate. I think the local markets and that RSN business model is going through, obviously, disruption in a time of transition. I do think local games are very valuable because a local fan base is incredibly passionate. Local ratings are high. But how everything shapes out, we'll have to wait and see. So it seems like they're not ready to jump into the pool quite yet.
But
they're keeping an eye on it.
That's an interesting comment, because you know what I hear when I hear that, when you read that out? Oh, yeah, that's negotiating.
Well, he's also...
He's like, yeah, we'll take it, but we want it cheap.
He's also directly referring to teams like the Jazz and the Suns, who did the free broadcast, the free over-air broadcast. And, you know, it sounds like that they definitely were able to, for the Jazz specifically, they were able to expand their viewing audience from 1.2 million to about 3.3 million. But it also seems like it took quite a bit of money to get that done, and it's not clear as to if it was profitable.
Well, I mean, you're basically starting a TV channel.
Yeah.
Like, you're starting your own network, essentially. Because, so that means, you know, you've got to sell your own ads. You have to do, like, the things. If you're the Grizzlies, like, the reason why this model exists is, If everyone could have their own rights and sell them themselves and make more money, most people do that. It's really hard to do it. It's the same thing that we saw when the biggest reason why the Pac-12 network never worked. Excuse me, networks. It was plural. That's a great
Longhorn
start.
Longhorn network.
They believed their own BS of, we're going to own 100% of it and we're going to reinvent television. Well, so they never partnered with someone to sell it. Or, like, for instance, the Big Ten partnered with Fox. I think it was 51-49% share. ESPN, obviously, with the SEC. And so they're the ones that took the things to all the carriers. They already have the relationship, whatnot. So that gets you, like, that's the reason why people want to do it. It's because you don't have to run the whole operation. Like, it's, TV can be like most businesses where, you know, you're not going to get on all the right households. Like, you don't, if you're not in the, like, all of a sudden you're in the advertising business, and you haven't been in that. You know what I mean? Like, you've been in-house advertising. That's very different than TV advertising.
Well, and to your point, I did some extra digging because I was just curious to see what the actual revenue would have been for the Jazz. And it sounds like that they were only able to get 60% of their revenue projections.
Yeah, so,
which is not good.
I mean, didn't the league also, do you have the Phoenix? I thought I remember the league stepping in, or maybe a court stepped in. Phoenix did the move of, like, when you read the plan, you're like, oh, that's great for fans. And then you're like, okay, this
is... Oh, that means it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too good for fans.
Correct.
It's too good to be true.
When you sit there and you go, this is so good for the consumer, that's not going to happen.
Well, and it's interesting because this also is saying that about 15 NBA teams have made it pretty apparent that they they want to stay with Diamond. They hope that Diamond can reemerge.
For all the reasons that I'm like, you don't want to start your own TV network. Right. It's really hard.
The teams are like, we want to make sure that we can be on TV, but we don't want to have to pay for it. We want to be making money from it.
Right. We just want you to pay us a number, and that's good.
Right. They're basically being like, not our jobs.
Yeah. I mean, to me, you're legitimately starting your own TV station. And that's really hard to do. My guess, it feels like we're heading towards some version of it's going to be aired locally on one of the local channels, and then I think online, whatever, the streaming option is going to be Prime.
I think so too.
That seems to me where this is headed. And I would suspect it's actually headed there this year rather than next year. And then next year, I don't know what would happen. This feels like everyone's trying to figure out a plan to get through this year.
Yeah. To be honest, one of the reasons I hate this, too, and how it is so messy is that I genuinely think that the Grizzlies have some of the best broadcast team in the NBA, like Pete, Brevin, and Rob. I want to make sure that I can watch them and that they are a part of this. And that's why it's so confusing trying to figure out which direction this could go, because part of that conversation is, okay, well, how do we maintain the broadcast crew? How do we make sure that they are still on wherever this goes?
My suspicion is the only thing that's truly going to change
is the channel?
Is where we're watching.
Okay, good. Good.
I strongly suspect that our guys are still going to be our guys. Our guys and gals are still being our guys and gals. I would be truly surprised if that weren't the case. Now, I mean, I suppose do all their deals just get ripped up?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Because I'm not certain. Are Pete and Brevin employees of the Grizzlies or employees of Bally's? I think they might be employees of Grizzlies.
I could not tell you.
That would be interesting. Because, does their contracts go away? Because I would also suspect the Grizzlies have a strong voice in whoever they're going to air the games. I would suspect the Grizzlies are going to have a strong, whatever they say is, these people are on it. I would suspect that would fly.
Right.
Now, I guess like anything, if the cost is too high, but I don't get that. I don't get that vibe. Feels like we're going to be watching games on, My50 and Prime.
And listen, if I would have to pay $5 to make sure that those guys get to stay on, I would be willing to do it.
I don't even think – I think we might just have to buy, bunny ears if you're a quarterback.
Well, that is literally what the Suns did. They just sent everybody bunny. You just said, hey, do you want these games? And you signed up for it, and they sent you ears in the mail, and you set it up.
But, that's the other thing.
Also Ishbia, who was just blank checking everything.
He was in his new owner spin
He was in NBA
phase.
2K mode.
But, that's the other thing. Can WREG just broadcast a... I don't know. Do any of these local... Can they just, start up a broadcast? Do they have the truck, the equipment? Or they have to contract it out, too? Because that's the other thing. It's like... You know, the local station's going to have to make a decision. Do we make more money on this, or do we make more money just running other programming by not spending the cost?
Seems like it was... I can't find a number for how it actually cost.
I mean, to me, when you use the Jazz example, the Jazz basically made the decision, would we rather have 60% of what we're used to or nothing? They didn't make what their deal was, but I think they knew they weren't getting their deal anyway. And they kind of also have, it's not Ishbia, but they still kind of have new owner. And also, new owner's one of them. You know what I mean? He is the guy that, bought his, childhood teams.
Oh, yeah. He's also a billionaire.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
And he has a desperate need to be liked. That helps, too.
Yeah, I've always a little skeptical of the 40-year-old with the skateboard.
Can't even remember his name right now.
Smith, right? Isn't it?
No. Oh, I'm failing. I'm failing right now. What is his name? Skateboard.
Oh, Tony Hawk?
No. Actor. Oh, my God. Reservoir Dogs. What's his name? I'm freezing.
Tim Roth?
No. Give me a second. Buscemi. Jeez.
Oh, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, my gosh. I should get this microphone. Take it away from me. Yes, Steve Buscemi. How's it going, young kids, or whatever that is?
What is... So their main live view technologies... Oh, it's Ryan Porter. That right? That's his name? Who's the owner? The Jazz owner. It's Ryan something, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the weird guy.
Yeah.
He's the true skateboard guy.
Yeah. Yes. Like, you know, he like still like skateboards. It'd be nice to have his wallet. Kentucky.
Yeah, Ryan Smith.
Kentucky.
You just made the list.
Breaking news, Connor. Probation still exists. Who knew? This from ESPN's news services. ESPN and the NCAA reached a settlement Friday over infractions that included 11 football players getting paid for work they did not perform in 21 and 22. How does this even the negotiated resolution said the school agreed with the NCAA committee on infractions that some football players received impermissible benefits and that rules violations took place in the school's swimming program. Although I think they're pretty good at swimming. Kentucky agreed to spend 2 years on probation, pay an undisclosed fine, and vacate records of any games in which ineligible football players competed. Of the 11 players paid for not working, 8 played and received, quote, actual and necessary expenses while ineligible. First off, what? Like, this is... I thought we figured out that... Was it A&M? Who was it that took the NCAA to task when they were like, you're giving out money with not the proper work and whatnot. It's like, okay, we're going to court. Why did Kentucky take a knee?
There must be something else going on that they didn't want them to be snooping around. That's the only thing I can think of. Or it's just the penalty's just not that bad, so they're like, whatever. We'll just deal with it.
Just pay to make it go away,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, pay to make it go away. Because, I mean, this is mostly nothing.
I will say it's got me a little woke on. Have you noticed how Mark Stoops is... when he's been doing, like, the old microphone tour, he's been doing a lot of complaining about, like, oh, yeah, I'm in fundraising now.
He's been doing money. That for years.
Yeah, but, like, you get the vibes of...
He smells blood in the water with Kentucky basketball.
Well, I also get the vibes of football coach that thinks they're not doing enough. They're not playing the game enough. And that, you know... If the school makes the decision to lay over to the NCAA, it's like, I cannot believe that on August 2nd, 2024, I had to read a story about essentially paying players for work that wasn't done. It's like, that's what everybody's doing.
Everybody's doing that.
Right. And we've even said, we can't enforce this.
We actually have a name for it now. It's called NIL.
Correct. We came up with a nice, comfy buzzword to make everybody feel warm and fuzzy. Let's see. Let's go with Skip Bayless.
You just made the list!
So Skip's done at FS1.
He's done.
Today he announced on First Take that it would be his last opportunity. So it's been 8 years. I couldn't decide when I read he'd been at FS1 for 8 years. Did that feel... It was one of those ones where I kind of, my first instinct was, I kind of thought it was longer.
I thought it was longer. I definitely thought it had been at least 10. I would have guessed a decade at minimum.
Because did they launch, was that the show that launched FS1?
Maybe. I have no idea. I just know it was such a big deal when he made the split and he went there. I just assumed it had been for at least 10 years. I didn't realize that it had only been 8. I was surprised by that.
Okay, so, no, it launched in 2013.
I thought Cowherd launched.
I kind of thought they went at the same time.
Did they go at the same time?
Yeah, so it launched in 2013. They had a lot of truck racing initially. Let's see. Maybe Cowherd is right. Maybe you're right. But, so this opens up the question.
Cowherd's first show was September 8, 2015.
So Cowherd is before.
Yeah, so Cowherd's been there for about 9 years.
But still...
Almost 9 years.
I just don't remember FS1 being a thing for that long.
It wasn't a thing until... It was. I remember it was a really big deal when Cowherd left. And
yes.
Then people were like, is this going to be a thing? And then Skip went to FS1, and all of a sudden it was a thing. I will say, it has lost a lot of its fire in the recent years, most notably since Shannon left, but...
Yeah, I mean, the real question, though, is... Is this opening up the opportunity for the ultimate...
Oh, the reunion with Stephen A.?
Because the reality is, as much as we want to deny it, when those two go face-to-face, it's brilliant television. Is it good for discourse and dialogue? I don't really care. Probably not. With that being said, it's electric television.
I do wonder, with the amount of money that's being rumored Stephen A. is going to get, if there is a larger plan to maybe bring somebody back and pair with him. I will say, though, it's at the same time, does Skip still have it? Does Skip still have his fastball? Because part of me feels like one of the reasons he's leaving FS1 is just he doesn't have the fastball anymore. And I think that we can all agree that Shannon Sharp was probably the best part of that show for a while. And since he's left, just in my opinion, like I love Shannon's new show, and I haven't watched Skip Bayless a single second. And it just feels like his bit's getting a bit stale. I don't know. It's running.
I don't necessarily think
the river's running dry for me.
I don't necessarily think it's the classic doesn't have his fastball. I think that when you are largely, like, to me, he's a knuckleball pitcher. And so it's like,
too much of him.
You just see it a lot. You know, like but I still think, I do think Skip was beneficial for Shannon Sharp. Because that got him in that space.
Yeah.
And now Shannon smartly kind of got to play victim too. And so like that made him way more sympathetic. And you're right, now Shannon's just off and running.
I think that Skip was a victim of his own success, because we do have to give him credit. He basically created a new format, and he changed the way sports television was going to operate for the next 10 years, 15 years, ever since he got with Stephen A. Like, that show changed all of sports programming. All of it. Just go look at ESPN now. They're just trying to replicate the magic that show had. I do think, though, so many... It was almost like Pulp Fiction, and all of a sudden you had, like, 15 movies that were trying to be Pulp Fiction, but none of them could be Pulp Fiction. I just feel like Skip was a victim of his own success in that so many of these spinoff shows happened trying to be Skip that it became oversaturated. And when you're watching it now, he's having to go extreme and he's trying to do too much. So it doesn't feel natural anymore. You don't feel like he believes in it. Because that was part of the glory of the heyday of Skip and Stephen A. is you actually kind of believe that Skip believed some of the things he was saying. His hate meter was at a ethical level. Now it feels unethical hating, because it's just, you don't believe it. It feels stickish. You don't believe it as much anymore.
But I still think it was probably stickish then.
It probably was, but I don't think that there were enough shows like that to where it didn't feel stale. It became stale because it's just every single time I turn on sports television now, I'm seeing a version of that.
So the other thing that I find fascinating, I very much pay attention to what Fox does, because I think Fox has been a pretty good, like, if you view it as a case study, it's been a pretty good indicator of where things are going. To go back to where we started discussing the TV deal, Fox initially decides, hey man, this regional sports thing, like that's not going to work. They sell off those. If you look at, in terms of, like, when television was starting to, like, overpay, they didn't really get into that. Like, they switched, like, Friday nights, they're not even going to have, like, even after SmackDown leaves, they're not even doing Fox programming on Friday night. They're throwing sports. Like, they're the ones that kind of did this. When everyone went hard in the paint streaming, they didn't really do that. Like, I think they've been a pretty good indicator. And so to me, is this kind of the beginning of the end of the debate show?
I think so. I hope so. I really do hope so. Because I truly hope so.
Even, like, First Take now with Stephen A. Smith, I wouldn't even really contend that that's a true debate show. That's the Stephen A. Smith show.
Yeah.
And
it's just everything with him ends up being
correct.
A debate.
Now, the other question, though, is do we buy that Kimmel's being serious about he's not, after this contract, he's done? Because that's the other question. Stephen A. Smith has been on the record that he wants to host that.
Is that the best use of his talents, though? I like Stephen A. I just feel like he's overexposed. Stephen A. needs to be first take and here and there, and he needs to talk about the sports that he knows about. He needs to stick to the debate topics because that's what he's best at. The problem with Stephen A. is he's on every single show talking about things that he doesn't necessarily know about, and then everybody tries to, it's not necessarily his fault, but everybody that is in a conversation with him tries to turn it into a debate. They frame everything as a debate instead of just letting them be entertaining and being themselves. I don't know if Stephen A. is best suited for a late night television show.
Well, I mean, I think there's also another question of when Kimmel's contract is up. Like, there's definitely a universe where late night shows go away.
Yeah.
Because they're expensive and they're not really rating all that well.
Well, just look at what Conan did. His transition into podcasting was highly successful. And I could see some of the others trying to do that. Some of them have started. Like, I mean, just look at Jon Stewart right now, too. I know he came back to The Daily Show.
Yeah, but that was a temporary.
But his podcast is crushing it. That's where I think most of this might end up going.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what ESPN programming looks like in 3 years.
I think they need to try to go back to what it was.
I
don't know if you can, but that's what they should try to do. I've seen some rumors that, because Skip said that he's looking for other opportunities. I don't hate this idea. Him being with Dan Patrick would be interesting.
I kind of buy Dan's done after this.
Really? Like,
I buy the I'm retiring.
Really?
Yeah, because
his show's so good.
It's by far the best sports show.
And nobody really talks about it much, I feel. Like, is it underrated, properly rated, overrated?
It's Dan Patrick in general is underrated.
Yes.
Just overall. Like, I mean, really no one before him had the balls to leave ESPN. He did it, and he's had the most success.
The book, the
ESPN, the book.
It is incredible.
Did these guys have all the fun?
The amount of things that were happening in that office.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, it was Animal House. All right, when we come back, let's get into our games of the weekend. We'll talk about it next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
FS1. Like, there's some things I totally forgot about. I forgot their SportsCenter competitor was, remember they hired those two Canadians. It was like Fox Sports Live with Jay and Dan.
That sounds like a South Park bit.
Let's see. The show got rebranded at one point to be like a late night talk show. 2017. That got canceled. That actually made it longer than I thought it did. But that was first. I totally forgot about it. Jay on Rate, I think, and Dan O'Toole. I always know when I'm launching my American sports show, I'm going and getting the Canucks.
Yeah, that's
I had also Garbage Time with Katie Nolan. I felt like that lasted 6 months and probably won 57 Emmys. Totally forgot about Christine Leahy. Remember, she was the original hot news girl across from Cowherd. Then they gave her a show, Fair Game. That lasted, appears, about a year. The Francesci show was on FS1. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. I did forget about that one.
Wow, that has been a... Thank you, FS1. All right, games of the weekend. So I think we probably, especially with the Cardinals down 5-1 and losing last night to the Cubs, I'm not doing Cubs-Cardinals because I'm not going to emotionally get myself into it. I think our game of the weekend probably has to come from the Olympics.
It's Team USA.
So you think it's the basketball game. I'm wondering if it's another event because we still have, like, the guys are moving on no matter what. The result of Sunday doesn't matter. Although, I suppose it's fair to say this is the toughest test, right?
I don't know. I think Serbia was probably going to be the toughest test. In this phase of it, at least. I'm not expecting...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Puerto Rico.
I'm not expecting much from Puerto Rico.
No, that's the worst. Yeah. That's going to be the most meaningless game.
Jose Alvarado is going to have to drop like 40 for them to have a shot.
I'm trying to think. So what are the other... So we have the other big ones that it could be. We have the Olympic golf, the Olympic tennis. We do have, I will say, Djokovic Alcaraz in a final.
We've got women's archery, the medal event for that. That's on Sunday. Archery was pretty electric today. I didn't realize how far away they actually were when they were shooting.
They zoomed out, and it was like, oh my God.
When you realize how far away they actually are, because I can't lie, sitting on my couch eating chips, I'm like, oh, you suck. And then they zoom out, and I'm like, oh my God, how are they hitting that?
I'm with you. I don't think they know how to film it because I don't – basically the way they do everything is you get the split screen with the – with the archer on one side and then the board on the other.
Right.
You're right, though. You don't get the sense, like, I don't know. Was that impressive?
They cut right to it.
Correct.
Yeah. And
I feel like they've got to figure out a better way to film that.
I thought that it was like, you know.
Of course, I'm sure what they're saying is, listen, this is not exactly a moneymaker
right.
for us.
But, I mean, this weekend we're going to have gymnastics finals. We'll have diving, cycling. The big one, beach volleyball, and the teams are rolling right now. I don't know if any... Did you see the beach volleyball U.S. versus China? Oh, my God. It was incredible. Nuss.
I think that's the best team. I think they're better than...
They are the most... They may not be the best one. They're the most intriguing one, though, because of how they are paired together.
The dynamic.
You have a 6'4".
Yeah.
Just absolute monster cleaning up every single thing that's trying to happen. And then Nuss is running around, making plays happen. It's been really exciting because they keep trying to attack Nuss, and it's not happening. So they need to stop trying to do that. You have handball, which, again, I as a country, we've got to figure out how to have a handball team and a good one. I feel like we could all figure it out.
Is Ledecky swimming the 800 freestyle?
I think so. I don't know when
that
is.
So that final though would be Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. We've also got...
water polo.
We're in a lot of... The track season right now, that we're in, are we in relay season? That's what it seems like.
We're in relay season.
We're starting a lot of relays.
It doesn't really seem like too much track and field's happening until Thursday, I think. I'm looking at the wrong schedule. I was looking at last week's.
No, so
that is why it was confusing. Okay.
So it feels...
No, we have track and field all weekend. No, that's going to be... That's it. It's track and field then. Track and field's the big watch of the weekend. It's track and field.
So you're not including table tennis?
I don't think I'm going to include table
tennis. What about the road course for cycling?
That actually might be interesting because people bust on that, and it's kind of fun to watch.
Basic.
I do think that, yes, you'll have volleyball, though, and water polo, and I didn't realize they hadn't hit my radar. Our women's water polo team is 3-time defending gold medalists, and they're beating the absolute hell out of people right now. So that's another gold that we can add to the scoreboard, hopefully, in the future. So I do think that I'm going to be checking out water polo this weekend.
I have, from my Pepperdine experience, I have very little respect for those that play water polo, as in the character of the people. It's the most bizarre thing ever. They were like the jocks. Like, they were the most like insufferable jocks. I can't think of a sport that I enjoy less, but I am more impressed by. The fact that you're just sitting there treading water.
It's so hard.
Like, I cannot say I find it super impressive. At the same time, I do not find water polo fun to watch.
It's so violent.
Well,
it's
so violent. So much of the game happens under the water.
Yeah.
Like that's you want to talk about, like, you will see some things. But also, it's like, hey, you're watching people like struggle to stay afloat and then try to throw. Like, I don't know, there's just not enough action. Like, handball, at least like you get the action of it moves pretty good. But something about water polo, I do not find it fascinating. I had to be the water polo team reporter for my freshman year at Pepperdine on the sports night show we did. That was, pretending like I cared about that was pretty tough to do.
I will say, we have been talking about it a lot recently, but we do have the women's 3-on-3 team has made a bit of a comeback here. They are now 3-3. They beat Canada. The men's team still sucks. They only have one win. And they got the one win. Guess what? Breaking news. Jimmer Fredette didn't play, and all of a sudden they won the game.
I was wondering if that
crazy
was
crazy how that happens.
Well, I would also argue, like, I watched a little bit. I still can't get in. Every time I'm watching that, I go, what is the point of this?
I think... I found it yesterday. They are trying to grow the game, and teams that can't qualify for...
But they really aren't. Like, it's all... You look at the board, it's the same...
It's mostly the same teams.
Like,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
It is mostly the same teams.
Like, that thing is just... Like, my thing is...
It's more money. That's what... It's as simple as that. It's more money.
I would be curious to know if it really is.
It's gotta be.
There's no names.
Well, I'm talking about advertising. Like they can sell ad spots.
Also, I was today years old when I learned Haley Van Lith is on the women's 3x3.
Yeah.
Also, Siciliano's doing this thing where he calls it 3x3.
No, that's
thank
annoying.
You.
I haven't watched any of the Gold Zone. How is it?
Other than Siciliano, it's a pretty good way to watch.
Listen, like, he's someone where...
I do kind of miss him.
You do miss him.
I miss yelling at him.
I think you miss what he represents, though, and he represents...
But I don't miss him in the way that I miss
Red
Coach
Zone.
K.
What do you mean?
I need someone to be, like, the villain.
It seems like, to me, Steve Kerr is beginning to step into that role for you.
Yeah, but, like... I don't think the Warriors are going to be relevant enough.
You need somebody to be good?
Like, that's the other thing about Coach K.
Do you have any candidates?
Duke's always relevant. Not right now. I mean, Kerr's always there. He's, like, waiting. If I need to go to that well, I can always go to that well. But, no, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're phasing out. All right, when we come back, we tell your story next. Stick around. So Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Connor, for today's Tell Your Story, we go to the ACC's official Twitter account. Olympic record alarm. Ledecky bringing home the gold. Hashtag accomplished greatness times hashtag Olympians made here. So they are taking credit for Katie Ledecky's 1,500-meter win and the gold. The community notes... Ledecky graduated from Stanford in 2021 with an inclusion of a link to a Washington Post story when Stanford was still in the Pac-12.
That's just nasty. Nasty. I've seen the Big Ten, I think, did it with another sport, too. They were trying to take credit. People were like, you can't do this. That's just nasty work.
It's still weird that...
Let the bodies lie.
Stanford-Miami's a conference game.
By the way, I watched the landscape video you were talking about. It's just the entire country.
Yeah. No, it's coast to coast. Sea to shining sea.
The video kind of rocked.
Coming from Florida.
It was a good video.
It's a good ad. There's no question. Want to thank Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Connor, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.